This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
This hour of afternoons is brought to you by FindMassMoney.gov.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, just past the 3 o'clock hour here. Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and now the great one who is now on Fox News. Did I see that's the latest graphic? Citing Ted Johnson?
Yeah, hey, Fox News. It's WEEI.
Yeah,
it's only the oldest, longest running sports station in the country.
Might want to learn it.
Good Lord, Fox. Come on, man.
So is, you know, they say any publicity is good publicity. If they spell your call letters wrong, is that still good publicity?
I don't think so. No, because people are going, oh, I gotta tune into this WWEI. What is this? Oh, this, well, there's no WWEI.
What they're going to end up on, like, Vince McMahon's website, WWE. They'll be like, the I must have been the typo.
What I'm trying to figure out is my comments from the other day, I mean, it still got traction.
Oh, yeah.
Days later.
Yep.
Oh, it's still got some.
Look at the power you have.
How about that?
Because people know you're right, Ted.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
Yes, I agree. More and more people accept, he might have been onto something, and this is getting weirder by the day, and I think that's why it's rolling.
Is that photo that they used from last week as well?
Yeah, I don't know what that was, man. Why, yeah, that's an old one, man. That is when I was going to say
that was just for professional men. Either.
Yeah, I wish they'd call me and approve the pictures. I wish WEI would call me.
And, hey, you've been bitching about your 3-point stance photo.
It's like they went on they just Googled Ted Johnson images, and the first one that pops up is probably the worst picture ever of me. I don't know. It looks like
right
I'm
now.
Straining for a fart or something, and it's like this face that is like,
oh my God, Ted, you have to talk to somebody at Google.
Yeah.
And somebody, get that.
I don't know who's in charge of our Instagram.
Brian.
Brian. Yeah,
Brian
puts
your boy.
The worst picture ever on our daily recaps of what we're doing for our 3-point stance, and I don't understand.
I think it's for effect. It's to get, like, grab attention.
Okay.
Like, people, their eyes are drawn to it.
Yeah, the effect is that Brian's going to get himself killed.
He might, you know.
Wow,
he might.
Is...
So lock the door over there, Brian. I'm coming.
I don't think it's
wow.
Coming,
I think you
man.
Can break
Ted's
it down.
Coming out swinging today.
Well, I'm fired up. Fired up. There's some things that have been just bothered me today.
Okay.
You know, some traffic issues.
Uh-oh.
And when I even got to work, but even earlier today, a cop that was giving me some problems.
Oh,
with,
yeah, issues with a cop.
Gosh, you know.
Did you get pulled over?
No. Just driving through a construction area and just, you know.
That might have been
not the best signage. And she had some issues with me, and I had some issues back with her. So,
oh,
yeah, that's all right.
Oh,
whoa. Holy Javon Baker. Did you go IG
Live? You know what? She gave me the stare that those two girls gave us at the in Green Bay when we left after the first day at Radio Row.
Yeah, but at least she's a cop. She has a gun. She's not an intern. They were interns.
Yeah, that doesn't mean they know what they're doing.
No, I know.
That they were in the right.
Did you pull out the rings?
Nope. Didn't do it.
Hey, honey.
Did not do that. Didn't feel the need.
Whoa, anyway. I don't know if you want a ring drop and hey, honey, a copy.
Probably not. Probably not. That probably wouldn't have ended well.
Toots or Sweetie would probably go over.
Yeah. It is 3 o'clock. Ted Johnson's here, and that means it's time to do a three-point stance that you'll soon see on Twitter with a bad photo.
No, we're
Ted
taking
Johnson.
That photo off. Photo off.
19!
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bang!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pasternak! A hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone! A three-run homer and the game is tied!
On WEEI Afternoons.
All right, gentlemen, it's time for the three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons. Today's three-point stance is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, like posting the wrong photo of Ted Johnson, you got to get Glassman. And here's what you do. You call all sevens at 617-777-7777. Again, that's WEEI to the people at Fox News. We have three hosts, each of which will be presenting their stance on some of the biggest stories floating around the world of sports, sometimes beyond. Each host will receive 60 seconds or thereabouts to present their opening stance on their story of the day. And after each host is gone, we'll open up the floor for discussion on each and every one. Our order is Andy Hart, then Nick Fitzy Stevens, and then Ted Johnson. Andy, you will lead us off. Are you ready?
Indeed.
All right. Well, your 60 seconds, they begin right now.
We can accept that LeBron James is an all-time great player. Right. That is a given. He's 40 years old, 21st season. It's amazing the things that he's accomplished in his career for the NBA. But I think we can put to bed this idea that he's one of the all-time great winners, that he's in this world of Tom Brady, or I would even say Michael Jordan, a great winner in the NBA. Did you know, Ted Johnson, LeBron James' record in his last 14 playoff games?
Yep, 2-14.
Close, 2-12, but
I meant 2-12.
Math wasn't your major at Colorado. 2-12. He is, they lose 4-1 to the Minnesota Timberwolves. They could have lost the series, but 4-1. You were gifted in the middle of the season a trade that shocked the world. You were gifted a top five player teammate who last year on a team that really only had two stars went to the NBA Finals. Kyrie and Luka went to the finals.
Yeah.
Now LeBron with Luka gets bounced in the first round. I don't want to hear the great winner that LeBron is. He can play. He's closer to Aaron Rodgers than he is Tom Brady. Talented, stats, MVPs, but he ain't no GOAT.
Yeah. You know what? You
save it.
Save it. Yep.
We will save it.
Save it.
We'll come back to that.
Come back.
I can tell.
Closer to Aaron Rodgers than Tom
Brady. Save it.
Wow.
Save it. Yep. Save it.
We will save it. And save we will it. Come back to it. I promise you. All right, Fitzy, your time is now, my friend. Are you ready?
If I said no, you'd probably still start anyway, so let's party.
I'd be interested to hear the music for 60 seconds, but in lieu of that, your 60 seconds begin now and do with it what you please.
All right, here we go. So everybody has been making all the hubbub the last couple hours over Drake May and his first public appearance, his first media avail and presser of the 2025 year. Talking about Will Campbell, the man who said he would die for him. He really gets the juices flowing. Josh McDaniels, Mike Vrabel, et cetera, et cetera. But let me tell you, as a football fan and someone who has been dying to watch his team score some points and be exciting on offense again, see all my references to Travion Henderson in the past week plus, I would like to highlight this soundbite from Drake May's presser as a reason my juices are flowing.
You know, Stephon, I mean, he's one of those guys growing up. And when I was in high school, he was a young in the league and, you know, had him on my fantasy team and, you know, things like that. So playing with him in Madden, so it's pretty cool to hopefully, you know, now this season been throwing to him. He's coming back, you know, obviously from injury and looks like he's doing great. He's been around and it's going to be cool to throw a, you know, receiver like who's made plays like he has.
Yeah. I'd like to highlight that in 2019, Josh Allen, 58% completion percentage, 3,100 yards, 20 touchdowns, 9 picks. The next year, 69% completion percentage.
Nice.
4,500 yards, 37 touchdowns, 10 picks, and a quarterback rating that went up by 23% overall. Let me tell you, folks, if this guy is healthy, Drake May to Steph Diggs is a connection you can and should get pumped about. Get your juices flowing this fall in Foxborough.
It was amazing how bad, inaccurate Josh Allen was. He couldn't throw a swing pass. He couldn't throw a slant pass. He could throw it down, you know, 50 yards downfield more accurately than he could 5 yards past.
Oh, yeah. He could Uncle Rico the ball over them there, mountains in Buffalo. But in terms of just the nuance of the game, you add all of a sudden a clinician like Steph Diggs with that savage competitive instinct. If that knee is right, Ted, I think we're kind of all sleeping on just how fun that connection might be this fall.
All right, so I'm very excited for that one as well. Well put there, Fitzy. Ted Johnson,
yes, sir.
You are up here for our three-point stance. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready, Bob.
All right, well, your 60 seconds. They begin right now.
All right, so my three-point stance today is not going to be something like what I said the other day where I suggested that UNC should maybe think about letting go or parting ways with one Bill Belichick, and I give all the reasons why. And it's made news. This isn't going to make any news, but I got to get this off my chest. I heard the Midday Show, Jones and Keefe, kind of referencing the Jaren Duran. I've wanted to get the Jaren Duran story out. We haven't had time to talk about it. They keep talking about it as like, you know, another incident, just another brick on the wall of the Jaren Duran incidences that have happened in the last few years. And he has. He has had incidences with interactions with fans. But episode or this event that happened with this Cleveland fan a few days ago where the Cleveland fan sought Jaren Duran out, said something really inappropriate. They used the word idiot to describe him. That's not the word you used to. This is a horrible human being that said what he said to Jaren Duran, who was had the courage. When you say people, Jaren is a courageous person for sharing his story about his thoughts about suicide, about the suicide attempt. The courage is saying it knowing that there's a-holes and horrible people like that Cleveland fan out there. So don't make it a sound or frame it as if Jaren Duran was part of this incident. He didn't say anything. The fans said it. And what they did was the appropriate thing. They got his ass out. And I hope they never let him back in because what he said is inexcusable, in my opinion.
I agree. I actually think it is inexcusable, especially in this day and age. Maybe 50 years ago where people didn't really think about what they said. They kind of flew from their hip a little bit more often. But you grow up in a world now where you know words can get you in trouble. Like if you say something, there's going to be major ramifications. So, I mean, I guess you can mix in alcohol and try to give some sort of excuse.
What in the hell did Jaren Duran do to this fan to make him walk down to the dugout area, say, why didn't you finish yourself off?
Like alcohol, Ted.
No, no.
It's the simplest thing in the world.
I hate when people use drugs or alcohol as the excuse for their behavior.
Well,
man.
First of all, it's entitlement. It's bad behavior. It's thinking that Twitter and social media is real life. I had a horrible time, Ted. The closest I've never been in a fist fight, all of 51 years old. Yeah, no kidding, Fitzy. And the closest I ever came was in 2008. I was at the Jets at Patriots game on Thursday Night Football, which they sadly lost in overtime. Great comeback by Castle. And there was a guy in front of me in the stands who kept yelling. He was a Jets fan, and he kept yelling something about Teddy Bruschi and strokes. Now, sadly, that same grandmother I mentioned years ago, Ted, who used to go to the adult daycare and had a jacket autographed by you at the Salvation Army daycare, had a terrible stroke, and years later she passed. So I'm very sensitive to that subject matter. So I yelled at that fan, like, just shut your blanking mouth. You have no idea who around you could be affected by that. How I spoke that through five Coors Lights, I have no idea. And it was a very contentious scene. And this guy was all liquored up and just didn't care. And I couldn't believe, the thing I couldn't believe was no one else stepped up and told this guy to shut his blanking mouth because it was okay to tell Teddy Bruschi to have another stroke. I mean, when people drag other people's stuff, that's what Alex Cora said yesterday, which I loved, Andy, in our conversation with him yesterday, that one of the sad agreements you make as a public figure is letting everyone else know your business and then think it's okay to come. I can have an opinion if we're all sitting around having a burger or a beer about you know, what went on with David Ortiz someplace or Tom Brady, et cetera. But to bring it out in public in front of other families, other kids, and then to try to make that person feel bad, to me, is the lowest form of scumbaggery in sports fandom that you could possibly achieve.
Yeah, I don't understand the point of it. That's the thing I got to when I brought this up, I think, on Monday, is, like, there's supposed to be sports hate. I love sports hate. I think the environment, a rivalry, you going to Nebraska
hate them.
Like, that's really cool. And
that's
then
the best part of it,
like,
yeah.
Like, some creativity. We see signs or different things. Yep. But, like, Andy what Hart was the point of this? Yeah, Andy Hart sits when he pees. Like, oh, like, what was the point of this? Like, what's the end game?
Even getting drunk, you just go, you know what? I'm going to tell him he should have killed himself. Like,
to what end?
Right.
Do you feel better about yourself?
That's not sports hate. That is like real low down, low form of human being hate.
Because no one's going to laugh. Like, you're not trying to get a laugh from the people around you.
Yeah.
You're not.
How does that?
If somebody does laugh, that's a real hand tip, real fast.
It's not creative. It's not.
So I don't like that people are framing this. Well, he got into another incident. No, he didn't. Right. That wasn't. He did not ask for that fan to do that. He was not looking for that fan. He might have pointed the fan out. He might have suggested, "Hey, this is a guy saying it," as he should have done.
And he was upset. That was the other thing. Some were insinuating like. And I get that he is going to have to hear some things. That's part of the courage of putting it out there.
When you put it out there, man, but you're still not ready for that. You're not ready for them to come back at you throwing your addiction or your health or just you're not ready for that.
And I didn't think he crossed some weird line where he overreacted.
No, not at all.
Know, it's not like he sprinted in from second base when he was on base and created something. Like, he pointed it out.
You know what? If he didn't point it out, I would have been disappointed in him.
Right.
I really
and others did. We should say, Fitzy, you referenced people around him. Like, sounds like the crowd there sold this guy out pretty quickly.
Okay, so they had his back then.
I'm sure, you know, Cleveland fans take a knock every now and again for some of the people they've supported or been forced to support in recent years. But I can't imagine there were many people there that thought, like, that was a good choice that guy made in vocalizing our lack of support for Jaren Duran and what kind of people we are.
Yes, Diz.
You guys are trying to find logic in the illogical, and the truth is the guy's just an a-hole, which all of us have found. Now, I get that's not the, you know, best sports radio take, but...
No, I mean, you're probably right. Well, we are trying to look for an answer that isn't there.
Like, but what I'm trying to do is teach people or, you know, help out my brothers in the media of how to frame the incident.
Yeah.
It's like as if... It's kind of framed as if he was part of it. He didn't want any part of that.
And he has been part of incidents in the past.
He's dragged into it.
Like, he's been part of other stuff.
Correct.
He was the bad guy in some of those.
Absolutely.
But not in this one, case. He
last summer, he barked back and should have hopefully learned a whole lot from that.
I'm sure he did.
My God.
Can I ask you, as a former player, is it ever okay for a player to chirp back at a fan?
I think so, yeah. Yeah,
really?
within limits.
What about hit him?
No.
I mean, I'm not joking because that happened at a UFL game this weekend.
If the person threatens you, if you feel threatened, like if the person jumps in your face, they spit in your face, they make a move like they're about to hit you, then you have permission to
right.
like,
to
like
do
let's
something.
Say you're laying down on the scorer's table and somebody throws a soda pop on you. Is it okay to then run up in the stands and start a 100-person brawl?
I don't think so.
Well, that's a tough one. I just think you're throwing stuff at players.
And what about that basketball player last week? I forget his name that got into it with a fan and was saying very inappropriate stuff with kids all around him.
I think you're held to a higher standard as an athlete because you are supposedly on a pedestal. You do have security and other options that are there to protect you, to help you, that you can call in. So I do think, now I'm not saying I would always do it. I'm a hothead and I think there's buttons somebody could push on me and I would cross a line. But you would like to think before you because you also have a lot to lose. That's the other thing. You need to protect your own career image and all that.
If it's just words, but someone throws something at you, someone spits on you, someone jumps down in your face where you're startled thinking, okay, then it's hard for me to blame a player for doing that. But, you know, just don't throw anything at the player.
Right. An addendum
just
here.
Just don't be an ass.
I still advocate for there needs to be a greater divide between NBA courts and the fans.
It's amazing.
I just don't understand how you can just stand up and be at a player immediately. Yeah. At least in other sports, you got to jump a wall and there's security facing you. Like, it's too close. Just too close. And I know it's been like that forever, and it's accepted, and those are great seats, and Greg Hill, and everybody sits in them.
It's almost amazing not more has happened.
Yes, I don't understand how there aren't boards or even just a rope, the thing at the bank that keeps you in line to go to the teller, something to create a divide between you're a fan, these are players, don't mix the two. Yep.
Well, I think what you're hoping is going to happen is those seats are very expensive, and so you're not going to find the type of people that are going to be...
That's the hope.
You know,
I guess, but even just the fact that it's open, you know, people can walk down and just kind of jump one seat and be right on the court. It just... It's always been weird to me. I've never really understood.
And that's
it.
Why it makes it even doubly worse when a player's parent, like the Halliburton, you know.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, I hated that.
They should know better, man. Like, people have talked smack about his son, you know, and he didn't like it. So that was bad.
Dan Ball?
Yes.
Okay. This was your segment. I was just checking to see if you're still paying attention.
I mean, you guys were having a very insightful conversation. Far be it for me to interrupt there, Andy.
Okay. Well, do a great job. We're going to interrupt this discussion about fan behavior and everything that goes on at games because we do need to get to the scary incident in Pittsburgh, which isn't fan behavior necessarily, but one of the scariest videos I've ever seen at a ballpark. We'll get into that a little bit later because up next we have Tom Curran who'll join us as he does each and every Thursday at 3:30. We'll talk about Drake May's press conference, get his reactions to everything that happened in the totality of the NFL draft. Tom Curran up next with WEEI Afternoons, but first... Dan Ball's awake, so he's going to give you what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Just nice to not be interrupted. Well, I tell you what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com, brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. The Red Sox fell to the Toronto Blue Jays in Game 2 of their three-game series last night, 7-6 in 10 innings. Boston held a 6-0 lead after the top of the sixth, but gave up 7 straight to lose the game. Lucas Giolito, however, was solid in his Red Sox debut, going 6 innings and giving up 3 runs while striking out 7. The teams play the rubber match today. First pitch is at 7:07, and it's Tanner Houck versus Jose Berríos on the mound. You can listen to the game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arcan begins at 6:07 tonight, and Will Fleming and Cooper Boardman have the call of the game itself. Per ESPN's Mike Reese, the Patriots anticipate announcing the 2025 inductee to their Hall of Fame early next week. Fan voting did close yesterday, and Giants rookie pass rusher Abdul Carter shared that he also received a prank call during the 2025 NFL draft, joining Shedeur Sanders, Mason Graham, Tyler Warren, Kyle McCord, and Chase Lunt. In NBA news, for the second time in his career, Drew Holiday has won the NBA's Sportsmanship Award. He also won that during the 2020-21 season. And two Game 6s are on the schedule in the NBA tonight. Knicks are at the Pistons. New York leads that series 3-2. And in the late game, the Nuggets are at the Clippers. Denver also leads that series 3-2. And four Game 6s in the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight as well. Maple Leafs are at the Senators. Toronto leads 3-2. Golden Knights are at the Wild. Vegas leads 3-2. Stars are at the Avalanche. Dallas leads 3-2, and the Kings are at the Oilers. Edmonton leads that series 3-2. The lobster rolls are back at the Nines. Visit your local 99 today and try their famous colossal lobster rolls, 100% North Atlantic lobster, piled high on grilled brioche, served hot buttered, or with just the right amount of mayo and celery with fries and coleslaw. You gotta love the Nines. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. NBC Sports Boston Patriots insider Tommy Curran joins the guys, and that's next.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out,
we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy, Stevens, Ted Johnson, and joining us on the phone now, as he does each and every Thursday, Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Tom Curran brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at drainsbyjames.com. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. How we doing, Tom Curran?
Tremendous. Tremendous. I think that was Stevie Wonder's Do I Do.
It was.
Was the instrumental there.
You got the thumbs up.
The dentist office version. Tom.
Nailed it, brother.
You got the thumbs up from
do
Stiz.
Do I do.
Good stuff.
Good job, Tom.
So
you do.
Thanks, guys.
You are doing tremendously. Did the Patriots do tremendously in the draft? Everywhere I look, it's like people are tripping all over each other to tell me how great the Patriots draft was. A+, best GPA. They got 5 starters, all of these things. Was this draft as good as everyone says it is?
He asked skeptically and with not with a little more than a hint of smarm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do you think? Everybody gets together and they all decide together? I think that independently, you look at the Patriots, how bad they were, how many needs they had,
yep.
The fact that they addressed those needs, and the players that they got to address them were all, virtually all, taken at their value or after most people projected them to be picked. So to me, that's all you have to go on. So these draft grades are that are so quickly dismissed because we don't know how these guys are going to turn out. No, easy.
Yeah.
I already swore once today.
No one knows how it's going to turn out. All you can base things on is did they take players at positions of need who seem to be good players? We all hammered them in 2022, or at least had measures of doubt when they took Cole Strange and Tyquan Thornton and Pete Strong and every other guy,
yeah.
You know. So to me, I think it's fair to if everyone looks at it and says, seems like they got a bunch of good players at spots they needed them. Mm-hmm. That's not a bad thing.
I agree with you, Tom. And you and I were kind of lockstep on the draft and particularly that first pick, the fourth overall pick. You and I liked Tyler Warren and was kind of our guy. And so they go with Will Campbell, who's the chalk pick. And are you kind of like me? And maybe I think a lot of people, I said this to Andy on the flight back from Green Bay, felt like, after rounds 2 and 3 and they get Travion Henderson and Kyle Williams, it almost makes you look at the Will Campbell pick at 4 a little differently and almost kind of just says, oh, you know what? I'm fine with Will Campbell because of what they got in the second and third round. Did you have a similar type experience, and what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, take, for instance, Braden Swinston. And now I'm calling him Swinston because it's either Swinton
it's Swinson.
Or Swinton, so now I've just Swinson. Pushed them together.
Yeah.
So say they took him in the second round. He was a 13.5 sack guy at LSU, and the Patriots took an insane reach. Instead of taking him in the 5th round, far after he was projected to go, they took him in the 2nd. So they walked out with Will Campbell and Braden and Kyle Williams. You would have said, why would they spend that pick on the defense? Instead, they learned from their free agency deficiencies and immediately addressed them. It was all too logical, in what they did. And we saw so many illogical build drafts over the last, 12 years. And really, there wasn't a lot of logic behind what they did last year in terms of who they took and when. Certainly Drake May was a logical pick in the same way that Will Campbell was a logical pick. But after that, they seemed to miss the boat on some projections and tried to get too cute for a team that wasn't good enough for cuteness.
So, listen, Tom, it'll be kind of fun to see if Ashton Jeanty and, Arianti Ursary will pan out better than Will Campbell and Travion Henderson. But I'm very happy with the draft, as I think are most local Pats fans and beyond. As far as today went, Drake May, first media avail, first presser of the season. What did you think of how he composed himself 30 minutes, tardy and all?
I composed. in control, comfortable. Still, I mean, I thought he was frank and sincere about the things that he said. I thought that it was noteworthy what he said about Mike Vrabel, that you could tell that he said that you could tell that Vrabel has a vision, and you can tell he's an experienced head coach. And we're always going to look at things through the prism of, is that related to the, should that be compared to what he experienced last year? And maybe you can, but it's still worth noting that there does seem to be much more organization and a purpose to what's going on right now than the team that Drake May joined last year. So I thought that was interesting. I also thought the Elliott Wolf comments on Drake's leadership that he gave to Sirius XM Radio were interesting too, saying that, you know, Drake last year maybe stepped back with his leadership and let it come to him, and this year we're going to expect more from him. I just talked to Phil Perry about those comments for a while, and Elliott Wolf did say we've already seen that he's going to be a better leader, and we expect him to be. But, you know, Phil made a good observation. It's like, so they expected him to come in and be a leader, but they put a guy in front of him and said, he's our starter.
Yep.
Until further notice, he's our starter. And then they got mad at him halfway through camp because he was deferring to Jacoby Brissett. And by the end of the camp, they're telling him, okay, you outplayed him, but you're going to sit. So the mixed messaging and the notion that, hey, we wish he was a better leader last year, but he will be this year, it's another thing where Elliott Wolf, at least, and I'm not speaking for Vrabel on this because Vrabel wasn't here, but Elliott, you guys are the one who set it up that way. Don't bitch now that he wasn't a great leader or an outspoken leader last year.
Tom Curran,
I love that point. Love
NBC Sports Boston here on WEEI Afternoons. And my question actually ties into that nicely because that's an example where they want a guy to be a leader, but there's somebody in front of him that's already kind of a leader that they've emboldened. This year, it seems like the exact opposite. My buddy Ted Johnson was on the forefront of this, kind of blowing all the leaders out of town. And we saw another one this week with Joe Cardona, but we know David Andrews and Bentley and all these guys. Do you think that will work? Is the natural leadership of this team something you're confident in? Because I do think this is kind of like you sprayed Roundup and the dirt is bare. Now, do you have good seeds to grow or weeds just going to grow back in a year? How do you think the leadership will evolve with Drake May and whoever else takes that bull by the horns?
Well, it's funny because Teddy was on this a long time ago and I kind of dismissed it. Teddy was like, oh, it looks like they're getting all the Belichick guys. I'm like, nah, they're not doing that.
Yep.
I mean, Vrabel's a Belichick guy. He's a Patriot guy. He's not going to disrespect guys. He's going to keep them around. Ted was exactly right. They were absolutely clearing the decks and moving guys out. I do think that in doing so, and I'm not here to besmirch the guys who were stuck on a bad team in Joe Cardona and David Andrews, but the team went 4-13 the last 2 years, and those were your leaders, and the team was dysfunctional. So it's not their fault the team sucks so bad, and I don't care if you had General Patton in there. I don't know if they would have done any better. But it's hard to say, well, we need that guy as a leader with the team's coming off 8-26 over the last 2 years, especially if they're older and are eminently replaceable. So I don't blame them for making that decision if Vrabel is of a mind that I don't want younger players or other players to feel that they have to be deferential to people who, because they've been here a while. Because I can't imagine that they're looking at those guys and saying, we don't need you. We don't like you. Don't come around here no more. But they are moving on from them. So I do think that they have on the offensive line with Campbell, with Moses, guys who can lead. Garrett Bradbury's a veteran. Cole Strange might not be a great player, but he's a good fella. He's not going to be a pain in the ass on when he should accept the leadership mantle. Defensively, I think that Williams is being paid as a leader, and every time I've heard him talk, I've kind of enjoyed listening to him. So I think that there should be plenty of leaders who can assume the roles that the Patriots are asking for them and to jump in the places that Vrabel has cleared spots for them to be in.
Tom, I work with some co-hosts, some colleagues that feel that Drake May is got diva qualities to him, and I don't feel that way. But what are your thoughts? What have you heard, or what do you think of Drake May's just overall, I don't know, disposition? Do you see him as a diva, a high maintenance type of player, or my co-hosts and colleagues horribly wrong on it?
Yeah, I think there's just a lot of time to kill sometimes in that industry that you sometimes are involved in.
Yep.
And sometimes, you know, how do you kill that time? Well, call the quarterback a diva. Play the hits. No, he grew up the son of a quarterback at North Carolina State with high-profile athletes in his family. I don't think he's been coddled. I don't think that when you look at his record at North Carolina, not his on-field record, which was 7-4 in his last year, but the fact that there was so much turmoil and dysfunction there, and he never said poop. He never said a thing. He just went about his business, never pointed fingers, laid blame, laid around and flopped on the ground like a salmon after getting hit. And you didn't really see that last year either. So I just want somebody to show me one scintilla of evidence that Drake May is in some way a diva. Because the Patriots, if you think that them moving on from Joe Milton is somehow a smoking gun for Drake May needing everything to be perfect around him, I would counter with this. The Patriots organization blew up a first-round quarterback who might have been a third-round talent anyway, but they blew him up because they made his life so friggin' miserable that they had to draft another one a couple years later. So why not try and overcorrect and make things easy for the next guy?
Yeah, Tom, I would ask you more about that, perhaps, or even Elliot Wolf's job and job security following what was a lauded draft, but we're not talking about that. What we probably should talk about real quick.
No, what was that? I don't get that.
That's me being Jordan.
Oh.
That was the proper response.
Yes, that's exactly the proper response. So, Tom, you were the first one to surface a few weeks back here on our station during one of these afternoon chats that you'd heard whisper or tale that there was a little frustration with how things were going in the land of Chapel Bill. Well, now here we are a week later and easily the most viral CBS Sunday morning interview since the days of Bill Geist and Charles Kuralt, you know, goes out of control with Belichick and Jordan Hudson. So what the hell? What do you think about what's happened? And what do you think the next steps will be?
I wonder how much Bill really needed to write this book in the first place. That really is the crux of the issue. You know, when you read the emails, it's clear he didn't want to call it The Art of Winning. It's clear that the publisher at the point of a bayonet forced him to do that. He said that in the interview. He didn't want to call it that. So they convinced him to write a book. Why he needed to write a book now, don't you usually want to strike while the iron's hot when you write a book? Not after a 4-13 season, a firing, a moving on from the greatest player of all time, ruining a quarterback and winding up in college. The Art of Winning would have been more pertinent then. Now, Bill, it's going to be hard to sit down when you're 7 years removed from the last Super Bowl win in early 2025 and have people ask you about all your life lessons in winning. We know about them. It's do your job. It's ignore the noise. It's worry about yourself. Put the team first. No days off. We get it. What happened? So that's why people were focused, Bill, on the I effed up chapter. And I think that this really is something that Bill somehow got coerced into. Just if you read the tenor and tone of his emails mm-hmm. to the publisher, it almost smacks of, you know, you guys asked me to do this. Mm-hmm. I did it, and now it's going exactly like I thought. Everyone wants to focus on the negative. It's not my fault. It's yours. You made me do this. Mm-hmm. So fix it. And he should have taken control of it and said, no, I'm not writing the book. Why don't I have a little success here first, and then we can get into the art of winning and stuff. But someone convinced him to do a book, and either he willingly went along, happily went along, or reluctantly went along. But he went along. And now he's surprised that everybody except for Susie Welch wants to ask him about his girlfriend and his relationship with Robert Kraft. Surprise! The iron is not hot enough for Bill to be striking on the topic of winning.
Tom, but it's reached the point where even friendly media member, like guy like Charles Barkley, considers him a friend, is saying this is a slippery slope. He might reach out to him. My co-host has wondered if North Carolina might reconsider their decision to hire him and have him lead their program. Do you think this is spiraling out of control for Bill?
I would presume that this is as close to out of control as it will get, but I think we could always be surprised because I think Bill is combustible now and doesn't have enough people around him to guide him on, yeah, you don't really need to say that. Mike Lombardi is a terrific media personality. I always enjoyed talking to him. I like to consume his stuff because he'd say anything.
Yep.
Jordan Hudson at 24, given that she was with a network news magazine, thinking that if she piped up, that wasn't not going to be used. I mean, Bill understands media more than anybody. I was saying this to Jones and Keith the other day. Every time I talked to Bill off the record, he would go continually off the record and on the record in a way that nobody I've ever talked to really seemed to understand. When you're doing an interview, if someone wants something off the record, they say, this is off the record. And then the journalist has to say, yes, off the record. You can't use it. If the journalist doesn't nod or assent, there is no agreement there. Bill would wait for the journalist to say, yeah, this is off the record. And then if he wanted to go back on, or if he said something, he said, can we put that on the record? He understands what on the record means more than anyone I've encountered in sports that I've ever covered. So she thought she was just going to pipe up and they weren't going to use it. It's a news magazine. It's not Patriots.com.
Hey, whoa, shot across the bow.
It is not a shot across the bow. Patriots.com is an arm of the Patriots.
True.
They're going to shoot you straight, but they're also there in large part to make the team and organization and its employees look good. And right. So that's why Bill had right of first refusal on things all the time. You don't have that with a network.
All right, Tom, appreciate you joining us this week. We'll talk to you next week when I think we'll know who the Hall of Fame inductee is going to be for this year. Quick prediction before you go?
Ooh. No, and I'm not going to be with you next week.
Oh. But, you know, Liv, you're on vacation, right? Just don't want to talk
about it.
You're beeswax.
All right.
That's what it is. Hey, thank you, Tom.
Yeah, thanks, Ted.
I got your back, brother.
All right, Tom. We'll talk to you soon. Appreciate it.
See you, man.
See you guys.
See you.
Thanks, Tom.
Tom Curran.
Good stuff there.
NBC Sports Boston. Yes, some very interesting comments on the draft on Bill Belichick. We'll react to a little bit of that up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Oh.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Funny because Teddy was on this a long time ago and I kind of dismissed it. Teddy's like, oh, it looks like they're getting all the Belichick guys. I'm like, nah, they're not doing that.
Yep.
I mean, Vrabel's a Belichick guy. He's a Patriot guy. He's not going to disrespect guys. He's going to keep them around. Ted was exactly right. They were absolutely clearing the decks and moving guys out.
WEEI Afternoons with a group eye roll to Tom Curran saying, Ted was exactly right.
Can we cut that, please, if you wouldn't mind, Stiz, just for later use?
How do you roll your eyes audibly?
Next to my, oh.
So now that Cordona is gone, that's roughly 50 years of service time of all the free agents that have been moved out of here. I mean, those guys, out of all the years that they were here, it's over 50 years.
Oh, yeah.
Their leadership is gone.
It's like Kyle Duggar, Mike Onwenu, Stevenson, like that's your aged
Jabril Peppers and Kyle Duggar are the two longest tenured players here.
Like that's not the same as guy. You know, we live for years. You live for years. It was guys would be here decades, have multiple Super Bowls. How many years were you with Bill? And now it's just a total turnover. And I'm with Curran. I hate to say this because I know you're going to take your victory, but you were right. You saw that he cleansed this. He performed a cleanse on that locker room to open up the opportunity for whoever it may be. Do you think he knows? So he was a mastermind enough to remove the potential impediments.
Yep.
Does he know who he wants or he even thinks the 3, 4, 5, 6 guys are that are going to come to
Absolutely.
The forefront?
Absolutely, he knows. And my guess is he will have conversations with those guys as opposed to the old regime in which I love this point that Tom Curran made because I've never felt comfortable when a player gets in trouble for not living up to the coach's expectations or disappoints the coach. You know, I use the example with Jared Stidham. He pissed off Bill. Because he went on supposedly he went to a wedding and didn't stay.
Yeah.
Did Bill go to him and say, this is what I expect from you? Even though this is you're free to go. Everyone else is free to go. But I expect you, the quarterback, to stay here and lead these guys and set an example. That's what my expectations are for him. Of course he doesn't. Bill doesn't communicate that stuff with you. You're just supposed to read his mind and know what he's thinking. And the old regime was like that too. So now, my guess is, and I don't need that smirk, my guess is, that Vrabel has communicated what his expectations are, Andrew.
I hope so. I hope so, because I was actually smirking because I've been in relationships and people that did expect me to know what they wanted without.
And still?
You get the I shouldn't have to tell you.
Yep, yep.
You sure about that? I think you actually do have to tell me. You should know me well enough to know you nope. do have to tell
it
me.
Just if you're alluding to a relationship with a woman or your
Maybe.
Wife or your girlfriend, I will
Maybe.
Say this, all you ladies. You can't get mad at him if you didn't tell him what you expected.
Thank you.
You cannot get mad at him.
Clip that, and I might need it on yep. my cell phone in case I need to text it to anybody, nobody in particular, or anybody in mind. I'm just saying in case future reference. 617-779-7937. Reacting to Tom Curran, what he's thinking of the Patriots draft, and Bill Belichick will be up next. But we got to get to expectations for the New England Patriots. There is a number out there, a win total, and people like Fitzy are betting the over in abundance. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.